friends. Welcome. It is 4 p.m. Central Time, and you're listening to my voice on the great GCN Radio Network. And that means it's time now for INN World Report Radio. Good afternoon. My name is Tom Kiley. I will be your host for the next 1 hour. Thank you very much for tuning in and listening to the program. And a couple of things before I start talking about some of the different stories that we're following here on INN and some of the thoughts that I'm having that I'd love to get your thoughts on and that we'll be focusing on later in the week. Let me just say two things. We have a great guest coming into the studio, actually lined up to come online with us in about, 5-10 minutes or so. And that would be Nick Bryant, fellow New Yorker Nick Bryant. And Nick is he's a journalist and author, and he wrote a book on a case that he's been working on for a very, very long time. It goes all the way back to the 80s, in fact, and it came out last fall, and the book is called The Franklin Scandal, A Story of Power Brokers, Child Abuse, and Betrayal. And maybe you've heard of what's come to be known as the Franklin Scandal. It gets its name from a credit union out in, I believe it's in Nebraska, and that was taken over by a local Republican operative, and I believe his name was King. And what distinguished him was that he was African-American. Very few African-American Republicans at that time. There's probably few African-American Republicans to this day. But he went on to apparently turn that credit union around, but then later on it was found that it became a swamp of illicit activity and money going through there and so forth. And somehow the whole thing exploded into a situation where politicians were being bribed, and it ended up involving child abuse from some of the kids that were at Boys Town, orphans, kids without a family and so forth, and that they got dragged into it. They made their way to Washington, and they were used for illicit purposes, apparently, in very high political circles. And I believe journalists were involved and so forth. But it never really got very satisfactorily investigated. I think the gentleman involved, I believe his name is King, was sent to jail for 15 years, but most of the other players got off. In any case, Nick Bryant has done a great job detailing all this. We're going to have him on talking about his book. In the meanwhile, phone lines are open in this segment. Give you a call, 866-582-9933, 866-582-9933, and I'll be happy to give you a book if you give me a call. Wayne Madsen's book, first caller, call up, and we'll give you a copy of Wayne Madsen's Jaded Tasks, Brass Plates, Black Ops, and Big Oil. And we'll be happy to send that book off to you. Also by Trine Day Publishing. Trine Day is supporting the program quite extensively. It happens that they just have some just great books out right now as well. Hank Albarelli's wonderful book, which I urge you all to take a look at. As a matter of fact, Trine Day is putting a press release out from that book tomorrow, I believe. The book is called A Terrible Mistake. It's all about CIA scientist Frank Olson. And it looks like that some of the revelations coming out of Hank Albarelli's book are starting to stir things up a little bit. So I understand the French government has stood up and taken notice, apparently, CIA having tested LSD surreptitiously on a whole town full of French citizens back in 1951. I believe that's what the press release is going to be about. I'm going to find out more about that tonight, and we'll have more to talk with you about it tomorrow. But anyhow, give me a ring. Give me a ring, and be happy to talk with you. 866-582-9933, totally toll-free. So there's no cost to you, and we'll ship you the book for free as well. We'll be happy to do that. And what else? Oh, yeah, tomorrow, another great guest coming back, Scott Horton. He's been on the show many times. And just a superb, superb investigative journalist and attorney here in New York City. He writes for Harper's Magazine's blog, No Comment. We had Scott on about 2 weeks ago, and the connection was really poor. So I asked him to come back on. He was in between meetings and could only be reached on a cell phone, and apparently the connection wasn't well. So you may not have been able to make much sense of some of the things Scott was saying. So we asked him to come back. He will be back with us tomorrow. Just a great, great guest. I'm going to be asking him for the latest on the suicides, the purported suicides in June of 2006 at Camp Delta. Some people call it Camp America. Maybe I can get him to straighten that out tomorrow at Guantanamo Bay. We're told that three men were hung themselves at the same time on the same day back in June, and it just the story never made sense. Their hands were bound. In one case, at least, their feet were bound, and they had rags stuffed down their throats. Okay, how do you do that and then hang yourself past the gagging point, I'm told? And their stories just didn't add up, particularly since they were scheduled to be released in the coming few weeks. Well, there's some law students at Seton Hall University just across the river here in New Jersey who thought it sounded funny as well. They got all the official releases from the government on it, and they started fact-checking and cross-checking and found lots of inconsistencies within the government story itself. And then Scott Horton picked up the story, started working with them, and he broke it wide open in his blog. No comment at Harper's. You can go to harpers.com and see this. And there apparently is a black site just outside of the main facility there at Guantanamo Bay. It's not clear if it's a CIA black site or a military intelligence black site, but apparently they were taking prisoners from the relative safety of the main camp and then trucking them over little ways away from the main camp to this black site. That is, they called it, nicknamed it Camp No, because if you asked if what it was or if it existed, the answer would always be no. And so anyhow, we're having Scott on to talk about that. Also, I'm going to ask Scott about this crazy paper that came out in 2008 that we just found out about from Cass Sunstein, who says we ought to be infiltrating groups that don't believe in the official government version of events and pursue theories about conspiracies. In other words, infiltrating conspiracy theory groups. I want to talk with Scott Horton about that tomorrow, because according to Cass Sunstein, who works for Barack Obama now and is a good friend of Barack Obama's, and I'm told is on tap perhaps to become the next nominee to the Supreme Court, by his standards, I guess the students at Seton Hall University and Scott Horton himself should be infiltrated because they didn't believe the official government version of these guys hanging themselves in Guantanamo. So they didn't believe it, and now they're pursuing conspiracy theories about what really happened. Well, looks like the government is just flat-out lying and covering up a crime, a murder, actually three murders. The Bush administration was, that is. But now, since the Obama administration does not appear to be getting to the bottom of it, maybe they're going to start becoming complicit in covering up this crime as well. And now there are Guantanamo Bay guards stepping forward and giving their versions of events because they have a conscience and they want to say what they saw that night. And what they saw, again, is at great odds with the government's story. By the way, when these men were returned to their families, I believe two of them went back to Saudi Arabia, their bodies, and one of them to Yemen. When the parents received the bodies of their sons who purportedly hung themselves, an autopsy, a secondary autopsy, could not be performed to try to ascertain the actual cause of death because the throats had been removed by the U.S. government when they shipped the bodies back. Anyway, we've got someone on the line here. Okay, Nick is here. Good. So in any case, we're going to be speaking with Nick Bryant all about his book, The Franklin Scandal, and a tale of a story of power brokers, child abuse, and betrayal right after this. I've been trying to get Nick on the program for some time. There's been some scheduling, but he's here now, so we'll be speaking with him right after this. America, you are being tested, but here's where we study for it. From 1/2 mile north of Ground Zero in New York City, you are listening to INN World Report Radio with Tom Kiley. Now, daily on GCN, 4 until 5 p.m. Central.
For 9 years, the alternative media activists at INN have produced national daily television news and information programming, top-of-the-hour radio news briefs, and INN World Report Radio. News talk radio that brings you real news the networks won't tell you, and all of it 100% certified neocon-free. To find out more and for details on the stories we are following, go to INNWorldReport.net.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
This is Tom Kiley, INN World Report Radio, 5 days a week now, right here on the great GCN radio network, 4 until 5 p.m. Central Time, where we bring you the news the networks won't tell you, or if we're going to be covering a story that the networks are talking about or have covered in the past, you can bet that we will be doing it from an angle that they won't touch. And sort of in that spirit, I think a fellow New Yorker, a guest that I've been trying to connect with here on the radio side of INN. He's been on our television side in the past, but fortunately we have him here with us today, and he hasn't been feeling that well, so I'm glad that he made it. I'd like to introduce you all at this time to Nick Bryant. Nick, welcome to the radio side of INN World Report.
Well, thank you for having me, Tom.
Well, and thanks for coming today. I know that you're a little bit under the weather, but I think you're one of these fighters for the truth, so maybe that was that's kicking in for you today, too.
Maybe that and a little vitamin C.
There you go. Vitamin C, very underrated. Speaking of vitamin C, let's talk about vitamin F here, the Franklin scandal, which come to be known over the years as the Franklin scandal. I just started by saying that INN covers things that the networks won't tell you, or it covers them in a way the networks won't go into. The first thing I think of about this big, big story is how little coverage it got. Can you tell us a little bit about it and the mystery about it and why it isn't the big front page news all over the place?
Well, the Franklin scandal is about a nationwide pedophile network that flew children from coast to coast and pandered them to the rich and powerful. And it was... The epicenter of the ring was Omaha, Nebraska, but as I said, they flew kids from coast to coast. And I've acquired a number of the flight receipts that one of the pedophilic pimps, they rented a number of planes or chartered a number of planes. And a lot of those flight receipts go to Washington, D.C. And in Washington, D.C., there was a house that was wired for audio and visual for blackmail. And a lot of the pedophilic sex parties would go down in this house, and politicians that stuck around for illicit drugs or illicit sex would quickly find themselves compromised. So this started to unfold a little bit in Nebraska through social services. Social services was alerted that there was a national pedophile network being run out of Nebraska. And they conscripted both state and federal law enforcement to investigate the pedophile network. But initially, state and federal law enforcement just basically ignored social services. But social services eventually got the ear of some Nebraska state senators who formed a subcommittee to investigate this. And then all of a sudden, both state and federal law enforcement said that they'd done this thorough investigation, and they found absolutely no evidence of child abuse. But in fact, one kid had been interviewed once, and the police officer that interviewed the kid felt that the kid was very credible. So basically, they lied. State and federal law enforcement lied.
How about one police officer interviewed one kid and asked him for a date or something, maybe?
No, this particular police officer believed this kid, and he quickly found himself under siege at the Omaha Police Department. And he was sent to a psychiatrist. They tried to say that he was mentally unstable. And one of the reasons was that he believed this this kid. So so what happened ultimately was this state subcommittee kept pushing and pushing and pushing for the truth. And as it kept pushing, people started mysteriously dying, and including the subcommittee's lead investigators. It was Gary Caridori. His plane broke up, inexplicably broke up over Lee County, Illinois. And there would be two grand juries that would cover this up in Nebraska. And then there was also a grand jury that covered it up in Washington, D.C. And the media through this was either covered it up either through commission or omission. The Washington Times worked very hard to uncover this, or at least the Washington, D.C. side of it. But the Washington Post completely just kicked their reporting to the side. And the Omaha World Herald worked very hard to cover it up in Nebraska. And also CBS covered it up, and GQ magazine covered it up. And the New York Times is kind of strange because they jumped it right on the story as soon as the Nebraska subcommittee was formed, and they reported on the social services personnel telling the subcommittee that there was a nationwide pandering network centered in Nebraska. And then they had another article that followed shortly thereafter that was seemingly digging to the bottom of this, but then they didn't report anything on it for well over a year. And the next thing they reported on was the findings of this very, very corrupt grand jury that said that there, in fact, was no child abuse. And in my book, I scored all the sealed, or the vast majority of the sealed documentation and also testimony from that grand jury. And in my book, I show just really how corrupt that grand jury is.
Now, as I understand it, it wasn't just politicians who were being corrupted. It looks like there may have been some media personnel involved. And I think I'd like to just amplify your point from earlier. There was a particular location in Washington where these parties took place, but it doesn't mean if you were invited to one of those parties and you went there, you necessarily participated in this sort of thing. As I understand it, at a certain point in the evening, you know, there was a sort of a shift change, as it were, and a lot of people left at that point. But then those who hung around later, that's when the action got started. Is that correct?
Well, it was the party after the party. And so basically, veritable who's who of Congress and the media would come to these parties. I mean, senators and congressmen and high-ranking people in the media, high-ranking people in the military. And and they would generally start out as like a straight political function. And the people that came were like Eric Severide, Ted Koppel, William Sapphire, Ambassadors Robert Newman, former Attorney General Elliot Richardson.
Well, can you hold on right there, Nick?
Sure.
All right, friends, we're talking with fellow New Yorker, journalist and author Nick Bryant, author of The Franklin Scandal, a story of power brokers, child abuse, and betrayal. And we'll be right back with Nick just after these messages.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
good friends. Welcome back. This is Tom Kiley, INN World Report Radio. And our special guest today is a fellow New Yorker, Nick Bryant, journalist and author of the book The Franklin Scandal, A Story of Power Brokers, Child Abuse, and Betrayal. Also available on Trine Day Publishing. Trine Day's been supporting the show by sending us some great authors, but also a lot of books as well. So maybe we can take a caller in the next segment. If you give us a call, I'll get you one of these Trine Day books out that we have. So, Nick, right before the break, we were talking about how there was like a house in D.C. where these parties were being held. Was it a lobbyist or a former Republican that owned this house?
Yes, his name was Craig Spence, and he was a big-time Republican power broker lobbyist. And according to him and other sources, he was also a CIA asset.
Well, that sounds pretty busy, huh? And he knew. And let me guess, he knew nothing about what was going on in this house.
Well, he owned the house, and and he was, according to my sources, quite well versed in the blackmail equipment that was installed throughout the house. So I would have to say that he played an integral part in blackmailing people. Well, and as I was saying before the break, these parties, it would be a veritable who's who. I mean, there would be like journalists Eric Severide, Ted Koppel, William Sapphire, and ambassadors Robert Newman and James Lilly, and former attorney generals Elliot Richardson and John Mitchell. And then there would be like William Casey, the head of the CIA, who often went to his parties, and Ray Klein, former deputy director of the intelligence agency, Lieutenant General Daniel Graham, an expert on the Strategic Defense Initiative, and then John Glenn, the Democrat from Ohio, the Senator Frank Murkowski, the Senator from Alaska. I mean, it was just a who's who. And they would start out as you were saying, pretty straight political functions. And then around, but people would be getting lubricated with alcohol for sure. And then at around, let's say 11 o'clock or 10:30 or 11:30, somebody would fire up a joint or break out a line of coke or do something inappropriate sexually. And then the people that didn't want to be involved with that, they would split. And the people that stuck around would be provided with anything or anybody they wanted. I mean, if they liked coke, they'd be provided with coke. If they liked heroin, they'd be provided with heroin. If they liked children, they'd be provided with children. If they wanted young men or young women in their 20s, they'd be provided with young men and young women in their 20s. And then they would in turn be compromised.
Now, let's be clear. Is this a situation where a lot of these people who you rattled off and people like? Well, first of all, first question I have: you don't mention any women. Was this like stag party going on here? Or?
There would be women that would be invited to these parties, but as far as I know, only. I mean, as far as like the sexual compromise, only the names of men have come up, so.
Right, but I'm just saying, with these, you know, since there's so many men whose names that you rattled off, and let's also be clear, you did not list all the men who were sexually compromised. You list men who were known to have gone to these parties, right?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about this is the names of some of the politicians that were sexually compromised with children, at least the names that have come up in my investigation, some of those names repeatedly, are so mind-boggling. They said at the pinnacle of power that it's almost impossible to name them because basically you have children or former victims who were children that came from very dysfunctional backgrounds and were turned on to drugs at a young age and repeatedly molested at a young age, and then they went, a lot of them went on to become felons. So you've got, I mean, it's a perfect system as far as the victims going to compromise their credibility. And then the people that were actually enmeshed in the ring, not as victims, but as cogs of that dark machinery, they're all felons too. They were all taken down too. So although I have a tendency to believe some of these people regarding some of the names that they said, because of their compromised status, it's very difficult in this story to name names, just because of the eminence of the politicians.
All right, then. So now, it was almost like a balloon goes up. Once illegal activities begin at this house, at these parties, then that separates the wheat from the chaff, at least for that night anyway. People see what's going on. Those who want to keep the nose clean literally say, okay, time for me to go. I see everyone's starting to get happy here. But it doesn't cause, of course, them to report this to anybody or to not come back to enjoy some good times there again, no?
No, and I also think that there were just straight-out orgies at this house, too. There were a lot of, like, political functions that descended into orgies, but then I think that there were also just some straight-out, full-blown orgies, too.
So, all right, now, and the house is wired. The guy claims to be a CIA operative. What's the fate of this the gentleman who runs out? I've heard the name before. What's he up to these days?
His name is Craig Spence, and he's just one of many in this story who committed suicide. He committed suicide in Boston.
All right. So did he die funny, or did he, like, really commit suicide, or what?
It's a very, very strange suicide. He's in his tuxedo, and he's got a newspaper clipping about the CIA on his chest. It's a very strange suicide. I really get into that suicide in my book. If you read my book, you will see that
Well, like we say in Brooklyn, it sounds like he died funny.
He definitely died funny. I would have to let the readers decide whether or not they believe that's the suicide.
And I don't mean that in a humorous way whatsoever. Funny as in it's something doesn't add up. All right, so that's what happened to that guy. Any indication on your part for who this blackmail work was being done, a foreign agency or a domestic one or a combination or an oligarchy or a political party or what?
Well, I make a fairly strong argument. I have the FBI and the Department of Justice nailed as far as covering up this pedophile network. And in Nebraska, and I think I have the Department of Justice and also the Secret Service nailed as far as covering this pedophile network up in Washington, D.C. Now, I point a finger at the CIA or a corrupt subgenus of the CIA as far as being the prime mover of this. And there again, I make my arguments why this is potentially a CIA operation, and I would want the reader to read the book and decide for himself or herself whether or not they feel that this was in fact a CIA operation.
Well, speaking of the CIA, it actually reaches the levels of a former director of the Central Intelligence Agency getting dragged into this, right? Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, William Casey went to a number of Craig Spence's parties, but William Colby was hired by the Senate subcommittee in Nebraska.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. William Colby, another guy who kind of died funny, maybe not. But anyway, why don't we talk about that aspect of it on the other side of the break? This is Tom Kiley. We're speaking with Nick Bryant. And you can give us a call on the other side of the break, 866-582-9933.
America, you are being tested, but here's where we study for it. From 1/2 mile north of Ground Zero in New York City, you are listening to INN World Report Radio with Tom Kiley. Now, daily on GCN, 4 until 5 p.m. Central. For 9 years, the alternative media activists at INN have produced national daily television news and information programming, top-of-the-hour radio news briefs, and INN World Report Radio. News talk radio that brings you real news the networks won't tell you, and all of it 100% certified neocon free. To find out more and for details on the stories we are following, go to innworldreport.net.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Tom Kiley, INN World Report Radio. And we're finishing up today's segment with Nick Bryant here right now. This is the last part with him. But, you know, we're going to open the phone lines up, 866-582-9933. And I tell you what, the first caller who calls in with a question for Nick, I'll make sure you get a copy of his book, The Franklin Scandal, a story of power brokers, child abuse, and betrayal. So give us a ring if you have a question. If you've heard about this story, or if you haven't heard about this story, why do you think it's been that you haven't heard it? This is pretty big stuff. I think, Nick, doesn't this show the power of the depth of the corruption that is throughout this country, not just on this particular subject, but on so many more, that there just seems to be no traction left in the media for anything that's beyond some crazy story, you know, or some, you know, like a Tiger Woods kind of situation, or John Edwards has a love child or something like that. That stuff seems to be getting in there. But substantive corruption stories don't seem to go anyplace anymore, do they?
Well, I know that I wrote an article about this. The book's narrative was 500 pages, and I distilled it down to like a 10,000-word article, which is a long article, I admit that, and nobody in the mainstream media would touch it. And then I had an agent who I gave them the proposal for the book, and I was summarily dropped, and then... And then I handed it off to another agent who tried to sell it. Nobody would touch it. So there's probably one publisher in the country that would publish it. And I'm this book, and I'm lucky that we met each other.
By the way, friends, I neglected to give out the number, 866-582-9933, toll free. Come on and give us a call. Speak with Nick Bryant, and we'll get you a copy of his book, The Franklin Scandal. A hardcover book. It's very well done from Trinday Publishing. TRINEDAY.com. You can go there and take a look at this book and so many other ones that they've got out. We were speaking just before the break, just at the end of the last segment. William Colby, former director of the Central Intelligence Agency, he's brought into this case, I guess, to investigate some of the allegations. Was he not brought in to look at the mysterious plane crash death of the investigator and so forth? And then sometime down the road, William Colby dies in a very strange manner. Why don't you talk about that for a moment?
William Colby, when this subcommittee of the Nebraska Senate was looking for an investigator, there were all kinds of rumors that this pedophile network was hooked up with the CIA. And they flew William Colby to Nebraska. Colby was working as an attorney in Washington, D.C. at this point. And there were a number of senators in the subcommittee that wanted to hire Colby because they felt that he had the connections and the contacts within the CIA and outside the CIA to expose this properly. But a number of the senators who were on the subcommittee were dubious of Colby because they had also heard that this was a CIA operation. And they felt like Colby, once CIA, always CIA, and that he might play some kind of role in the cover-up. So they ended up hiring a very good investigator. His name was Gary Caradore. And as I said earlier, Gary Caradore probably came by pictures of compromised pictures in Chicago, and he was flying back to Lincoln, Nebraska, and his plane exploded.
Was this a private plane or a charter plane or an airliner?
No, he was a pilot, and he had a Cessna. And I've got five corroborations that he came by pictures in Chicago, so that part of the story is pretty nailed, five corroborations. So he had this mysterious death, and the subcommittee then called upon William Colby to investigate Gary Caradore's death because they really wanted to get to the bottom of the death. Now, William Colby, this is kind of interesting. His death has been tied to Franklin, but I don't know. It's hard to say. William Colby did tell people that were affiliated with the subcommittee that Gary Caradore had been assassinated, but he was unwilling to state it publicly. And then there was a documentary that's kind of become an internet phenomenon called Conspiracy of Silence, and William Colby appeared in that documentary. And though he didn't talk about this network being affiliated with the CIA, and though he didn't say that Gary Caradore had in fact been assassinated, just the fact that he would show up in this documentary is quite telling. And about 3 years, two or three years after he was in this documentary, he really had a very strange death. He was like 72 years old and in poor health, and he supposedly went canoeing in April on a very cold, windy night and without any shoes. So, and his body was missing for like 8 days. So it's difficult to know. In the book, I think I demonstrate fairly conclusively that William Colby was most likely murdered. But it's difficult to know what exactly he was murdered for, or if there was a aggregate of things that he was murdered for, and maybe this could have been part of that. It's difficult to know. But William Colby, like Craig Spence, one of the pedophilic pimps who owned the house in D.C., and ultimately committed suicide in Boston. These are two guys that took a lot of secrets to their graves.
How is it that, and by the way, I've asked one of his biographers, John Prados, and he said, well, I don't think he died funny. He had this problem, and he could have just fallen out of the boat. But I thought he was fishing or something. I didn't realize this was like late at night. And what's this bit about leaving without the shoes?
Yeah, I found that in an article. I did a lot of research into his death, and if you read my book, I throw some stuff in my book that hasn't come into the popular lexicon, and it's quite interesting and telling. And I think,
well, you know what, Nick, though, can you hold on a second, because we got a caller from Wisconsin. Gregory's on the line. Gregory, welcome to INN World Report Radio. Do you have a question for Nick?
Yes, I do, sir. Nick, I have heard some rumors, you know, about some high-level politicians, like Henry and the leader of the Senate Judiciary, about them being pedophiles. Would that be correct?
In my book, I don't name the higher-ranking pedophiles. I kind of point to some guys. But what I would suggest that you do is that you go out and get a copy of my book, The Franklin Scandal, and you can see how powerful people are pandered to, and that includes children.
Well, first of all, Gregory, hold on the line when we're done speaking with you, and if you give your name and mailing address to my producer, we'll get you a copy of that book, because that's what I said the first caller was going to get. So you'll be able to read the book and find out.
Okay.
All right. And
I'd like to know that information.
I think, as Nick was saying earlier, unfortunately, a lot of the witnesses are either dead or have been thoroughly compromised by this point, which I think is part of the game, right? If you trump up some charges or you You get people strung out on drugs, and then they create some crimes to satisfy their addiction. It makes them an unreliable witness, so it's difficult to bring them up as a witness at this point. Isn't that the case, Nick?
It's an eloquent system.
Sounds like a very sealed system. Anyway, Greg, stay on the line so that I can get your information. We'll get you a copy of the book. Nick, thank you very much for coming on. And actually, we should also mention that that documentary you mentioned was killed and was prevented from being aired at the last minute.
Discovery Channel.
But you can find it online if you go online, Google
Video,
right?
You can go to my website at www.franklinscandal.com, and I've got a version of that documentary that has never been seen until now.
Actually, I'm sorry. We should have done that. www.franklinscandal.com. That's how you can find
out. You can click on a version of Conspiracy of Silence that has never been seen until now. I've got a copy that no one else has ever had.
And you can get a whole bunch more information about Nick Bryan. I believe there's a blog there as well. You can put some questions there to him, perhaps. Nick, thank you so much for joining us today. When you weren't feeling so good, we'll have you back on when you're feeling better.